someone wants to sit down. It looks like the head is open, but unless you're all freaked out by this, I could move over.
Now I'm freaked out.
Alan's sitting there.
Oh, okay, I'll
there we go.
Oh, before we go, Chris, Jeff, I showed your picture to everybody before you got here. Can you comment on the why we there and what was going on?
it's a ministry right in Dallas, Texas, in the Hope Center, which is amazing. Open top kind of ministry center with all these different ministries. But we got to meet them there. They're part of I am Psychic is part of E3 Partners, which is a church planning discipleship ministry. I did not know that. So we met those. But I met the guy who actually had an event. His name is Nathan. She's a great guy.
So, brothers, if you look at your outlines, we finished last Friday the sale of Visa. Well, actually, today is Friday, February 6th, and we're on study 41 of the book of Genesis. So last Friday, we finished up the Esau's sale of his birthright to Jacob. And so now we're moving on to chapter 26 in Genesis. And what we're going to look at this next passage in chapter 26 is the confirmation of the Abrahamic covenant. So if someone would be kind enough to read verses 1 through 5 in chapter 26 of Genesis to get us going, that would be great.
Now there was a famine in the land, besides the previous famine in Abraham's time, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and will give them all these lands, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him, keeping my commands, my decrees, and my instructions."
Okay, thanks, Chris. So, verse 1, a couple things are going on in Isaac's life. What does verse 1 tell us? Yeah, famine. Famine in the land. He's in the land. He's on the coastal area right now of Israel. Would be the modern-day Gaza Strip, actually. And there's a famine in the land. And it's similar situation as to what happened to Abraham. I don't remember when there was a famine in the land of Israel, what Abraham did.
Egypt.
He went to Egypt. Remember what happened in Egypt?
He lied.
He lied. And he got and the Egyptians were like, "You need to get on out of here. You're a liar." And he left, and he was multiplied wealth when he left. Isaac actually, contrary to Abraham, Isaac obeys the Lord. So Abraham went down in Egypt. The Lord said, "This is the promised land." Even though there was a famine, Abraham strayed further than he was supposed to go. Isaac does not go into Egypt. Instead, he goes to this place called Gerar. And the Lord says, and we'll come back to verse 1 in a second, but the Lord says in verse 2, the Lord actually appears to him and says in verse 2, "Don't go to Egypt, but, you know, hang out here." But in verse 1, when Isaac goes to Gerar, who is the region in that jurisdiction that the scripture tells us? Yeah, this guy is his name Abimelech. Now, interestingly enough, the guy that Abraham encountered, not in Egypt, but as he came out of Egypt, was also named Abimelech. And so the question people raise is, well, wait a second, this can't be the same guy, and it's probably not. Abimelech is, most commentators believe, a name of the gentleman, this person's title, just like Pharaoh would be the title of a ruler of Egypt, Abimelech the same way. And but it's the same people group. And verse 2 says, again, don't leave Gerar, stay there, don't go into Egypt, stay in the land which I tell you. And verse 3 says, sojourn in this land. Question, verse 3 and 4, have you heard any of this before? Does this sound familiar to you, verses 3 or 4?
Yes.
Yeah, Tom, what do you, where have you heard this before?
Abraham.
Yeah, this is exactly the same information that God gave to Abraham. Same stuff. He said, look, I will bless you, verse 3, and not just you, you and your descendants. I will give all these lands. So this promise of land, and Gerar, by the way, is in Israel. It's in central Israel, just east of the Mediterranean and west of the Dead Sea. So just like God promised Abraham the land that he was sent to, the land of Israel, and he promised his descendants that land, so God promises Isaac this land as well. And remember, this promise was not given to Isaac's brother, who was a descendant of Abraham. Isaac's brother was? Ishmael. Ishmael. So Ishmael did not get this covenant. It was Isaac. Even though God told Abraham, your descendants, it didn't include all of the descendants. So Isaac is blessed with the land. And he says, I'm going to do it according to the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. In verse 4, it says, I'm going to multiply your descendants. He's speaking to Isaac again, not Ishmael. It's the stars of the heaven. And I, again, another promise of the land, the real estate. It's important. And also, lastly, in verse 4, through your descendants, it's from these descendants of yours, what else, what other blessing is going to occur through these descendants of Isaac?
All the nations
of the earth will be blessed because of your descendants. And so, this, like Tom said, this is a reconfirmation of the covenant to Abraham, confirmed through not Ishmael, but through Isaac. By the way, this is the first, Isaac is over 60 years old here. He didn't have his children until he was age 60. It's probably 80 because of the sale of the birthright by Esau to Jacob. This is the first known appearance that we have of Yahweh to Isaac. I mean, he may have appeared to him earlier, but it's not in the Bible. So, at this point in time, Scripture wants to tell us that this covenant, this very important covenant made with Abraham that we documented, if you look at your outline, it's the fourth of the eight covenants in the Bible. This very important covenant made to the man Abraham is extended to Isaac. Now we're going to see that, and Albert mentioned this, we're going to see that this will repeat itself. This covenant given to Abraham will be extended just as it was extended to Isaac rather than Esau. We're going to see that it will be, Isaac rather than Ishmael. We're going to see that it will be extended to Israel, Jacob, rather than Esau. Let's take a look at, the other point I wanted to raise was that in verse 5, the Lord tells Isaac that all of these blessings are going to flow to him as a result of what in verse 5? Yeah, Abraham obeyed me, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Is that true?
Yes and no.
Yeah, I mean, we've read a lot of him not doing this.
Right.
You know, sleeping with Hagar. Lying to Pharaoh about his own wife. I mean, we read a lot of Abraham really in violation of Yahweh. And I think this is a good lesson about the idea that in Genesis, we read this. Paul says it in Romans 2. But earlier on in Genesis, we read that Yahweh credited Abraham with his righteousness. He attributed righteousness to Abraham for one reason. Anyone know what that was? Faith. Faith. Didn't have anything to do with keeping the commandments. Not that that's not important, but he said it was credited to Abraham his righteousness because of his faith in this call that Abraham gave to him and Abraham acted on. So I think what you see in verse 5 is that, you know, faith will overlook a multitude of sins.
David
too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly like David.
Just like our faith in Jesus Christ. God will overlook.
This ties in with the very need of Jesus, because Abraham, he wasn't perfect, and neither was any man on earth perfect. And David was a man after God's own heart, and he was not perfect.
No.
So we need Jesus Christ.
That's right. And it's through our faith in him that even though we are disobedient often, he will credit God's righteousness to us for our faith in Jesus.
That was a key word you just used. He credits God's righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
So he credits that to us.
Amen.
Unearned. The law wasn't given yet, right?
That's a great point.
So how does he
so this is
the trees in the law?
Great point. That's very good. Good observation, Jeff. So, what are my statutes and my laws? What are they at this time? Yeah. This is good. This
right
is
now
good. It's a great point. I'm glad you raised that. Because when... So, who was Genesis written by? Good. And what did what did Moses get that was a big deal?
The law.
The law. Yeah. So... It may be that as Moses is writing this, he has that on his mind, the law, but you're exactly right. Abraham was not held to the standard of the Mosaic law because it did not exist. So this has to be some type of... Now, why they're called statutes and laws, probably just because Moses understood them to be that way when he wrote it, but there were commands of obedience that the Lord gave to Abraham, many of which he disobeyed, many of which he obeyed, and God credits to him whatever these laws were that were given to Abraham, acts of obedience. He credits Abraham with being obedience to them. But it wasn't the law of Moses.
But don't you have a unwritten household law? When you come to my house, this is how you behave, this is what you do, this is what's expected. It's not written down, but it's understood.
Yeah, laws of a conscience, yeah. I mean, that's probably a good point.
And you're walking with him.
Yeah.
Showing up, appearing to himself.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But it's consistent all the way through the Bible that God knows that we're not going to be able to keep all these things. Even in John, 1 John, you look there, and he says, you know, if you say you do not sin, you are a liar.
It's true.
Sin's not with you. But if you do sin, you have an advocate, Christ Jesus, that you can get back.
Amen. And if we confess our sins,
that's right. So faithful. Consequently, throughout all time, back then and now, nobody was ever perfect.
It's good.
Never expected them. He expected their heart to be driving them.
It's true. And even though the Mosaic Law was the standard that was given to Israel to be righteous, who's ever been able to keep the law?
Jesus.
No one. Only Jesus. Only the man Jesus. Only the man Yeshua, the son of Joseph, was able to do it.
There's two things, too, I've noticed here. There were two famines in this story. Two famines. And we always cry when we have a famine.
It's true.
But famines drive us. And direct us.
It's good.
And show us needs for our Lord.
Yeah, it's a great point. It wasn't in Isaac's abundance that Yahweh revealed himself. It was in famine that Yahweh revealed himself. That's a great point. Let's take a look at...
Job.
Yeah. Let's take a look at the next portion, Isaac and Abimelech. Could someone read in chapter 26, verses 6 through 11?
Isaac stayed in Gerar. When the men of that place asked him about his wife, he said, "She's my sister." Because he was afraid to say that she's my wife, he thought the men of this place might kill me on account of Rebecca, because she's beautiful. When Isaac had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked down from a window and saw Isaac caressing his wife, Rebecca. So Abimelech summoned Isaac and said, "She is really your wife. Why did you say she's my sister?" Isaac answered him, "Because I thought I might lose my life on account of her." Then Abimelech said, "What is this you have done to us? One of the men might well have slept with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us." So Abimelech gave orders to all the people, "Anyone who molests this man or his wife shall surely be put to death."
Okay, thanks, Jeff. So we have in verse 6, Isaac stays in Gerar like he was asked to by the Lord, doesn't go into Egypt, despite this famine going on. And take a look at verse 7, and take a look at verse 8. question. Do verses 7 and 8 look familiar to you at all? Have you seen this before? Yeah, this is like, talk about generational sins. This is exactly the same thing that Abraham did, except in Egypt. He tried to pass off his gorgeous wife, Sarah, as his sister. The difference between Isaac's lie and Abraham's lie is that technically Abraham was telling the truth. Sarah was his half-sister. It was still deceit. There is no half-truth here. And so you've got... Isaac, he has just seen the Lord. And he's not a kid. He's not a child. He's 80 years old at least. And here's the Lord has promised, this great promise. And all of a sudden he's lying about his wife. Why?
Because we're free to attack and fall right after great moments in our walk.
Well, yeah, but how does he fall here? I mean, why does he? What is his reason for falling?
He's afraid.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
The reason why I fall.
He was afraid. Afraid of who? Afraid of men. It's probably the greatest sin that we suffer with as Christian men. We're afraid of men. Be honest. Be honest.
I think it was yesterday or the day before, the guy who did all the redesign of Fifth Avenue committed suicide because he was going bankrupt.
Wow. It's true.
Beautiful downtown area there. Who doesn't like that?
Adamarian. Antimarian Jack.
Yeah. Oh, no kidding.
Shot himself.
So
at the age
today.
Of 75, I think, yeah. I mean, this is a good lesson of, you know, it's not just you got to run the race, and he wasn't a believer, but you know, who knows? I don't think he was, but you got to run the race. But you can't just run the race. You got to finish strong.
Got to cross the line.
You got to cross the line. You got to finish strong. But in any event, here you had this personal visitation by Yahweh. I can't remember having one of those. And then, you know, just shortly thereafter, he's lying because he's afraid. Wow.
And he was there when his, you know, Abraham was, this is Isaac. You know, you look at, he was there when the angel appeared in the bush.
And
Yahweh was in the bush.
And presumably, you know, Isaac knows about, you know, all these, presumably Abraham was sharing his faith with Isaac as a young man. So, yeah, they're serving the God of Abraham.
But we need to continuously be reminded, because we learn continuously.
Yeah, because we forget.
Abraham was a faithful man. Faithful. But then he was fearful. And then Timothy, it says, God gives not the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind.
By the way, that's a very important reason that you need to be asking every day to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Every day.
Because if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll be filled with the spirit of the world, which brings fear. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power.
Love and sound mind.
So ask for that infilling of that power daily.
Yes.
Don't be filled with wine, which leads to drunkenness. The command is, be filled. Affirmatively do it. Jesus says, you ask, you need to ask for it. Ask to be filled before you put your feet out of the bed with the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Ghost to fill you from the bottom of your toes to the tip of your head so that the world will not lead you into fear and you will not react in fear and disobedience to Yahweh. So so what he does here is he's afraid and so he lies. And in verse 8, Abimelech sees something that clues him into the fact that Isaac's lied. What does Isaac see? I'm sorry, what does Abimelech see? Yeah, my bad.
He sees caressing his wife.
Yeah, behold, Isaac was caressing his wife. Now, this is in West Virginia. Remember, this is Gerar. So it's sorry for those that are wrong. But, so it's not good. Something's going on, caressing his wife. Now, does anyone have the old King James with them?
No, but mine says laughing.
Laughing, okay, good. Which version is yours? Okay, good. Yeah, what version?
Or no, American Standard, but
it's got to be the KJV. ASV. Okay, that's the authorized version. That's the King James. So the King James says sporting. You know, the Hebrew they translated, and he was sporting with his wife. And we all know what it is to sport with our wives. You know, it's fun, and, you know, it's often called foreplay.
Yeah.
But that's what he sees. And how does Abimelech react when he sees this in verse 9?
He's upset.
Yeah, yeah. Now, this, I think, will give us a clue, Lou, into the question that Jeff Gibson asked about verse 5. What are these statutes and laws that are being referred to in the Mosaic Law doesn't exist? We don't have a recordation, but we do know this. There was some measure of obedience and standard of obedience that was revealed to people that weren't even following Yahweh. Abimelech, he had conviction in his conscience that hooking up with your sister would be wrong, and also hooking up with another man's wife would be wrong.
It's really the same thing as in Romans 1.
That's exactly right. We're all,
it is an inbred,
even though Israel was given the law, yeah, all Gentiles are measured by a standard that's been standard, a certain revelation that's been given. Even if you live, you know, in Papua New Guinea on an island that's never been discovered, there's some revelation as a Gentile, even though you weren't given the law, that you're responsible for. And so, in verse 9, you know, Abimelech's ticked, and Abimelech responds. He's like, he actually says, because, oh, and Isaac tells Abimelech, you know, I was afraid that I could die. You know, he expresses his fear, he confesses his fear. And Abimelech says in verse 10, what is this you've done to us? We might have transgressed a law that we're all aware of by lying with your wife. And Abimelech's conclusion is, in verse 10, what would have happened if someone would have slept with Rebekah? That act would have brought guilt upon us, not just the individual, but on the people group Abimelech's ruler over. So there is some revelation that's
conscience there.
Yeah, there's conscience that the Lord's revealed to even these guys. And as a result of the... So now, this is also a good reason to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because not only to prevent you from having a fear of man, but to provide you with something that Abimelech's responding to in verse 11, the fear of Yahweh. You need to have a fear of Yahweh. The fear of Yahweh will keep you out of all kinds of trouble. And by the way, Proverbs says the fear of man is a snare, and the fear of Yahweh is wise. So, and we're not talking about like a, don't think of your alcoholic father when we're talking about fear here. You know, it's not like a morbid fear, but it's a reverential fear, like electricity, you know, or like a hurricane.
Respect.
Yes.
Power.
Like, you know, if I don't do the right thing, something bad could happen. And guess what? We know one thing he tells us as his ecclesia, as his bride. Those of us whom he loves, he disciplines.
Right, just like your children.
Yeah, he'll put a whoop on you. Yep. He will put a whoop on you, not to punish, but to discipline. And so Abimelech knows that. He says, look, ain't no one here in this community going to touch Rebekah. We don't want the discipline of Yahweh up here on us. Even though this guy, who the covenant of all the people on earth has been extended the covenant, has lied to us. Let's go to the next portion here. Genesis chapter 26. Could someone, just so we continue making progress in Genesis, could someone read verse 10 verses, 10, 12 through 22?
Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped a hundredfold, because the Lord blessed him. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. So all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped them up, filling them with earth. Then Amalek said to Isaac, move away from us. You have become too powerful for us. So Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. Isaac reopened the well wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died. And he gave them the same names his father had given them. Isaac's servants dug in the valley, discovered a well of fresh water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen and said, "This water is ours." So he named the well Esek, because they disputed it with him. Then they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one also. So he named it Sitton. He moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it. He named it Rohrbach, saying, "Now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land."
Okay, awesome. Thanks. I really appreciate that. So, wow. This is, there's a lot here, but it opens with a bang in verse 12. What is said that's pretty remarkable in verse 12?
Blessed him.
Yeah. Not just a blessing, but
that year.
So when's the last time you've been to your investment advisor?
Yeah.
What's a good return on your
10%.
10% is really good in this market. Really good. Yeah. Yeah. If you get a CD, what's your return? Less than one. This isn't 10%. This isn't 100%. This is 1,000% return.
Right.
This is 100% times. Yeah, 10% times 100. Yeah, it's this big, big return. And he got that kind of return from who? Yeah. You want a good investment advisor? You want a good investment advisor? The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob will guarantee you some returns without the disclaimer.
That's
right. Joe? No disclaimers on those returns.
Yeah. And wouldn't Isaac, being the one who inherited from Abram?
Yes.
Huge wealth already.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. So, again, we as men who are pursuing worldly wealth, and we're all doing it, I mean, we all have been guilty of it, really need to step back and think about, you know, what are we doing? And what is the best use of our resources? And who are we obeying? Are we going after a 10% return or a 100-fold return?
Chris, real quick. I'm kind of lost, because here he is, and I know the story of Abraham, how he lied. Now, here's Isaac. He lied, but now he's staying on the land, and he is just making big bucks, a lot of stuff. Why, I still don't know this, why would God give him so much, even though he didn't trust him, and he lied anyway?
Yeah, Lou, all I can say is this. I don't know, but praise God.
And this is during a famine.
Because I am a beneficiary
yeah.
of that same attitude from the Lord.
He's a covenant keeper.
He made a covenant. The covenant wasn't if, then. The covenant was, I will.
Abraham was a faithful man. And there's a point here that when we're blessed, we, all of God's people are blessed. When we're blessed, he requires back from us a tenth of our earnings. That's all he requires.
No. I'm sorry. Sorry, Carl. He requires 100%. Let's go to Romans chapter 12.
It's all his.
Let's go to Romans chapter 12. This is important. This is good. Because
yeah.
that's church. And I don't mean that wrongfully, yes. but we've all been raised on this, and it is not true. Take a look at, and I apologize, we've got to talk about this. Take a look at Romans chapter 12. Under the law, you are responsible for one-tenth.
Right.
Are we under the law anymore?
No.
Someone in Romans chapter 12, read verses 1 and 2.
Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship.
Stop. Okay, I'll stop right there. What does the law of Messiah teach us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1? You, as a disciple, what does that verse teach you?
Offer your body as a living sacrifice.
Not 10% of you. All of you. Everything you own. Everything you are. Everything you think about. Every attitude you have. Every desire you have. Every ambition you have. It's his. 100%. Not 10%. All of it. And that is one of these areas where we think, well, wait a second. Isn't the law of Jesus really easy. It gets rid of the law. It eliminates 613 commandments. This is an area where the law of Moses is much easier than the law of Messiah. Law of Messiah is so much more strict than the law of Moses because you don't think you get out with 10%. He's looking for all of you. Chris, no holdback.
We'll read that again. He says, offer your bodies as living sacrifice.
And everything, all the fruit of your body, your labor.
He doesn't say anything about money right here.
What is money?
Okay, well, money is
the fruit of your body.
Currency is different from your body. Now let me.
It's the fruit of your body.
See, with Moses, in order that the point I was making is that Moses was not willing only to give his 10%. He was willing to give his son.
Abraham was. You're right.
Give it all.
And
it's true, amen. He was acting in accordance with that.
This is where with us, it's a lesson for us. If we're willing to give 10% only, what might we expect back from God?
Great point.
But if we're willing to give what God leads us to give,
all of us, everything.
And this is what I'm getting at is here is that it shows a trend of progression, a progressive act with Abraham, because he was willing to literally give his son. Now, God knew what he was going to do, but Abraham probably really didn't know what he was going to do.
I think you're right. He was doubting. He doubted a lot. Yeah, that's true. And I think that's a great point. I mean, you know, God will respond to the level that you have faith. And if you have faith to give him everything, he'll respond accordingly. If you have faith to give him just a little bit, he'll respond a little bit.
Well, Chris Carl, the point you're making is that love of God is really hard.
Amen.
Is that
and faith too? Well,
faith
is tough. Look at Isaac. He was afraid.
Yeah.
Just after he met him.
It's easy to have faith.
Wouldn't that kind of parallel with being married is hard? Loving another woman is hard?
Same
kind of thing going on here. Really loving somebody.
Yeah, I'm not. The only thing part of the parenting is being married, I think.
I think parenting.
It's hard. It is hard. But who knows the life of a disciple that we're called to. Well, is it easy?
But a genuine relationship is worth it. I think that's the point here.
Yeah.
10% is a good way to start. It's a terrible thing to stop.
And also, too, so, you know, another thing we've got to get out of our minds as disciples, that it's not easy.
Yeah.
Our walk, just if you eliminate that expectation right away, and I don't think anyone here does, but if you eliminate the expectation that I expect ease and comfort, well, you don't expect it because you don't deserve it and you're not going to get it. But wait a second, I'm his disciple. Because you're my disciple, you're not going to get it. So we've got to really, it's going to be work. It's going to be work. And that's why, again, sorry to go off on a rabbit trail, but think of Genesis chapter 3. The greatest sin that a man can commit is passivity. Every other sin results from male passivity.
You know, Chris, that gets back to anything that's easy. I remember my mom telling me this when I was a kid. Anything that's easy, ain't worth it.
And
you
really
know this whole thing about, you know, the sin of Isaac, about his eye. I keep thinking about Corrie ten Boom. During the war, they were hiding Jews, and the Nazis said, they were hiding Jews.
Bless you.
She lies, and she says no. She did it to save the life of those Jews. Yet, was that a mistrust? You know, Isaac, he thought that his life and maybe his wife's life was in trouble. He was kind of wanting to really help God.
Disagree though, Albert, because I think we know why Corrie ten Boom lied.
Yeah.
We're also told why Isaac lied, and why was it?
He was afraid.
He was afraid.
Yeah. Well, for his own life.
Well, she was afraid, of course, too.
Not for her own life, but for others.
But partly too, because if she had Jews and they found them, she ended up dying anyway.
Yeah, right. Her
sister did.
Right.
It's a hard one. You say you don't trust God, but boy, evidently he did trust God anyway, otherwise God wouldn't give him what he did.
Yeah, right. It's a good point.
That's a good point. He's going to do the same thing for Jacob.
Almost become a work?
I don't know if he trusted him, because he made a promise to his father and grandfather. That's what he was fulfilling, whether he trusted him or not, right?
Yeah, and also, too, remember, we're so I think that, thankfully, God gets to evaluate us on the entire story, not just one event in our story. And we're reading about one event, and so there may be a lapse of faith here, but I don't think in the overall account of Isaac's walk, I think it probably, even though the covenant was that Abraham or Yahweh will do for Isaac, I think that as we, well, I don't know, I'll let you decide. Because we're going to see, I think, some more disobedience by Isaac here.
Because that's the covenant. It's not if then. It's, if you trust me, if you follow me, no, I will.
It's true.
And that's what's hard for us.
That's true. Let's let me just summarize real quick this passage. In verse 13, tells us that Isaac, like his father, became rich, continued to grow richer, grew very wealthy. Verse 14 tells us that he was envied by the people around him. And verse 15 through verse 20 and 21 discuss, kind of like Abraham, dealing with this collision with the people group in the land and them having fighting confrontations. Yeah, they settle the confrontation, and Isaac concludes at verse 22, at least the Lord has made room for us and we will be fruitful in the land. So that's where we conclude here with this conflict with the people group. Take a look at verse 23. Could someone read verses 23 through 25?
From there he went up to Beersheba. That night the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. There he pitched his tent, and there his servants dug a well.
Okay, thanks, Scott. So he goes to Beersheba or Beersheba in Israel. So this is south Israel. And what happens in verse 24? Yeah, another appearance. This is the second appearance. Again, Isaac's probably well past age 80 here. This is the second time we have in Scripture, that the Lord appears to Isaac. And he identifies himself. I'm the specific God, not of Egypt. I'm not the God of Mesopotamia. I'm not the God of Ur. I'm the specific God of your father, Abraham. And he says, do not fear. Why? Why should Isaac not fear?
Because he did before.
Good, but Paul White's...
It's God talking
to him. God's with him. Don't fear because I'm with you. And I think that... As Carl said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a sign of mind. The good reason to have the... And by the way, Isaac didn't have the same opportunity that you have, Walter. Isaac couldn't just ask that the Holy Spirit fill him and he be filled. That wasn't available to Isaac. That wasn't available to Abraham. That wasn't available to Moses. It's available to you. As a member of the Ecclesia, it's available to you, Dave Carly. It's available to me. And so... Again, a great antidote to fear is not just with you, but in you, just filling you. And that fear will dissipate. God says, I'm with you, so don't be afraid. And again, in continuing the Abrahamic covenant, he tells you, I'm going to bless you, multiply your descendants, and he explains why, for the sake of Abraham. Tom?
Just going back a little bit. The Philistines, like you said, the fear of man. So when the world is going to be envious of us because we got the blessings of Almighty, of Yahweh, and they're going to plug up our water, our well, which is the Spirit of God, to try to quench the Spirit of God in us. And so all these wells, and so that's the fear. Like you said, we got to be filled every day with the Holy Spirit because we don't want the world to squelch that.
It's good.
So those wells is symbolic of that.
Amen.
Chris, from verses 19 to approximately 22, Isaac dug a well. The neighbors fought over it. Now, at that time, Isaac was very strong and very wealthy. He could have fought. He could have destroyed those people because he was powerful.
I'm not sure he could have. I mean, I think you're right. I think he had servants. But I think that he was dealing with a king, Abimelech, who was king over people group okay. and a military, so I'm not sure he could have.
Okay.
Let's take a look at... let's look at this passage, and then we'll finish up today. Could someone read verses 26 through 33? In Genesis 26.
Meanwhile, Abimelech had come to him from Gerar.
Ben's in there.
Thank you. Thanks, Tim. Sorry, Paul.
Hazeth, his personal advisor, and Phicol, his commander of the forces, Isaac, asked him, "Why have you come to me since you were hostile to me and sent me away?" They answered, "We saw clearly that the Lord was with you. So we said, there ought to be a sworn agreement between us and you. Let us make a treaty with you that you will do us no harm, just as we did not molest you, but always treated you well and sent you away in peace. And now you are blessed by the Lord." Isaac then made a feast for them, and they ate and drank. Early the next morning, the men swore an oath to each other. Then Isaac sent them on their way, and they left him in peace. That day, Isaac's servant came and told him about the well they had dug. They said, "We found water." He called it Sheba, and to this day, the name of the town has been Beersheba.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. So, verse 26, the king comes to Isaac, along with, there you go, Lou, the commander of his army.
Yeah.
And verse 27, Isaac says, "Hey, why you come to me? You hate my guts. You're jealous of my wealth. You're quarreling with me over wells." Verse 28, what does Abimelech say to Isaac?
"We saw that the Lord was with you."
This God that you're serving, we see he's with you. Yeah. And... yeah, we got a military, you don't, but we want to do something with you.
Right.
We want to enter into a NATO alliance.
Right. Let's be friends.
So, yeah, this might not go well if we're...
One of the scriptures says that if you draw close to me, God's speaking, if you draw close to me, I will draw close to you.
Amen.
And that's what they saw in Isaac. They saw that he had drawn close to God. And you mentioned a while ago, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, And there's a fair question, how do you become filled with the Holy Spirit? 1 John 1:9 will be the beginning of that. If we confess our sins, Lord, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
And then he says, if you will draw close to me, I will draw close to you.
That's good.
And the question we can have is, Father, how close can I draw to you? As close as you want.
That's right. Yeah, get closer. So this covenant, he says, look, let us make a covenant with you, the commander of the king with Isaac and his entourage. And verse 29, here's why I want this covenant, verse 29, so you don't harm us.
Mm-hmm.
So Lou, I think you're starting to get the message that maybe this could be a problem for us. Just as we've not touched you and have done nothing to you and sent you away in peace. And they say you're blessed of the Lord, that's capital L-O-R-D, so it's not just any God, it's Yud-Heh-Vah-Heh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so then they celebrate, they have the enter in this covenant, they exchange oaths, that's what verse 31 says, and they celebrate this treaty. And verse 32, it comes about that Isaac's servants come in and tell him about the well which they dug and said to him, "We found water." So again, Isaac's blessed again. It's not easy to find water, by the way, in South Israel. And he called it Sheba, the name of the city, which is Beersheba to this day. So the point of what we want to make here is quick. And we'll finish. Interestingly enough, this chapter, 26, is the only chapter where Isaac is really dealt with on his own. Before chapter 26, Isaac's only really dealt with as being connected to Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, we're going to read that after chapter 26, Isaac's only dealt with as being connected to Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
So of all three patriarchs, Isaac gets the least attention for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Isaac lived to be 100, although, interestingly enough, even though Isaac gets the least attention in Scripture, he lived longer than Abraham and Jacob. He spent 180 years on the earth. That was longer than Abraham and longer than Jacob. And the purpose of Isaac's life is, again, as a conduit of the covenant. So we will, it's a little bit, it's past time, so we'll conclude and we'll continue on next Friday. Thanks, Tim.
You know, I really enjoyed praying with you this morning. Would you mind praying for us? Just kind of wrap it up here.
By the way, sorry, we're here, pray. Everyone, this is Don. This is Barry's friend, Don.
Hi.
Well, I was waiting outside for it.
Right. Father, we thank you that we are able to call you Father. We thank you for your offering to us the gift of your Holy Spirit.
Yes, it's good.
And we ask that we respond and that we seek thy presence in our lives as we try to live them according to your guidance and the example of Jesus Christ. Be with us as we depart this place in all that we do, and keep us ever in thy grace and presence. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, brother.